This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanizan and Noel Lim. We're taking the pulse of the F&B industry in reaction to the National Recovery Plan announced this week. Because F&B companies have been bleeding since the start of the pandemic. And if the National Recovery Plan is anything to go by, there's no stemming the blood loss for the medium term.
Despite being allowed to stay open during the pandemic, F&B outlets have been hamstrung by the no dine-in rule, as well as limited operating hours between 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And I think the situation is just getting more precarious for entertainment outlets, which include the karaoke joints, bars and nightclubs, many of which have seen no income at all for the past 6 months.
We're actually running a poll on Twitter right now. Are the lockdown rules for the F&B sector excessive? 55.5% have said yes, 14% say no, it's needed, 4% said it can be stricter. Wow. I'm not sure how. 26% say adequate but need support. So, interesting. Let us know what you think over on the poll.
And so, for an industry perspective on this, though, we're speaking this morning to Jeremy Lim, Vice President of the Presetto and Pemilik Restaurant and Bistro. The association represents around 500 members in the F&B entertainment sector across the Klang Valley, Penang and Johor. Jeremy, good morning. Thank you for joining us. So, dine-in has been barred and opening hours are also restricted during the present lockdown. To what extent have F&B outlets been able to rely on delivery and pickup options?
We see something like 60% of our members actually suspending their operations during this period. 40% of them actually still operate on the delivery model. However, we see it's about 85% in terms of decline in business. Collectively, as a group, all our members have less than 2 months cash flow left to survive or pan out through this pandemic. Why there are 60% of our members actually chose to suspend operations? Because if they continue with operations, they bleed. They kind of bit the bullet and say, let's bleed less and let's try to tie out and try to ride out this MCO 3.0. Now, to your question, an average restaurant on the high side, cost of goods will be a range of about 35%. Your staffing costs on the high end will be about 15 to 20%. Utilities will pick up about 5%. The rent on the high will be about 25%. That works out to be something like 80%, right? If you add in delivery charges of 30% upwards, you're basically making a loss, man. So to answer your question, the dine-in being banned during this period, as well as the restricted hours, is not looking good for F&B players at the moment. The other thing is, because we've gone through this MCO, this is our third iteration, consumers by and large have now limited spending capacity as well. So people are actually spending or ordering food based on sustenance. You know, they're not trying to kind of say, oh, okay, let's do a celebratory meal and let's order a 300 ringgit steak. It's more on like, okay, you hungry, let's have dinner, let's try to do something simple. Let's order fried rice or mee goreng. I mean, I'm generalizing, but I'm trying to make a point here, right? So people are not actually spending that much more on food deliveries. The spend is a bit contracted.
Does the National Recovery Plan provide sufficient clarity for your members to plan their business?
I mean, to be honest, it's not really a plan. It's more of a target. You tell us that by a certain period, if we reach certain targets, certain sectors can open. But we don't know if, for example, dine-in will be permitted by next month if I follow the target. Right? There is no real clarity to say that, okay, dine-in is deemed as essential or dine-in is deemed as social. There is no clarity on that bit. Okay, why we harp on this dine-in aspect, right? It's not because we want to make more money. Now, when you open a restaurant, one of the first critical things you do is you choose a location. With a prime location comes a prime price tag. How can you ask a prime location venue that is paying a high rental to rely purely on doing delivery to survive? And when they do delivery, they are not taking the full extent of the revenue. Their revenue has to be shared with a delivery partner. And that is kind of one of the pain points that most F&B operators have right now in Malaysia.
Now, Jeremy, the government is projecting the country to reach herd immunity by November or December. Are your members able to survive until then under the current circumstances?
From now to November, if I do the mathematics, most of our members only have max 2 months cash flow. So from June to November, that's kind of a bit more than 2 months. So the short answer is no. Most guys will not be able to survive. We reckon if there is no government intervention, there is no aid, there is no revision in terms of, or fine-tuning in terms of the SOPs to help the restaurants or the F&B sectors, we estimate that we'll see 65% closure rates. If the guys in Putrajaya can kind of take a moment, step back, right, and go to your housing areas or go to your constituencies, look at the business areas, right? Look at how many shops are there for rent. And if you peep into those shops, they're not even reinstated, no. It could be a hot pot shop, it could be a bubble tea shop, it could be whatever. They didn't even have money to reinstate the shop back to original to give back to the landlords to rent it out. This is how bad the situation is. How much worse is the situation going to be? Right now, at this point, the ball is not in our court. The ball is really in the court of the policymaker.
So then, Jeremy, what kind of support do you think the government should reasonably extend to F&B outlets, taking into account all the talk about the limited fiscal headroom for government stimulus?
Well, I mean, one of the big industry or sectors that actually made a killing in 2020 was the banking sectors. Can they speak to the banks to come out with certain grants or aids, hopefully interest-free or really low interest rates, where businesses can go with our financials and say, hey, this is how much we made last year. We are being forced to close for X number of days now. Can we do a per-day closure allowance, subsidy or or loan that we take out from the bank? And that, hopefully, that loan can be guaranteed by the country. I mean, again, this is just me not engaging with any authorities or at federal level, but it's more like a ideation, a thought starter, hopefully, to the policymakers in Putrajaya or Bank Negara can take this on and try to kind of develop further on it.
There's been calls for the government to allow another blanket loan moratorium, but the banks want to be more targeted. What has the experience been for your members in dealing with banks?
The funny thing is when MCO1 came, there were some business loans that we have taken, right? So if you've taken those loans, by now you'll be servicing those loans. And you go to the bank, because we are in F&B, you don't get deferment in payment because the sector is allowed to open. But if your business has declined by 85% because you're relying purely on delivery, then you try to restructure the loan, right? The best restructure I've heard is 50% deferment. So that means you are still servicing a sizable amount of repayment to the bank every month. On top of that, you are still paying your rent. On top of that, your cost of goods, your delivery commission, and your staff salaries. So, I mean, it is a very, very challenging period for the entire sector. And I hope that, again, you know, the policymakers, Bank Negara, can really kind of come to the ground, hear what the business associations have to say. Let us share with you what our members have to say and really take it on board and try to make some adjustments to the policies.
Now, Jeremy, there's a lot of empathy and support for the F&B industry, but entertainment outlets face a different scenario as they're seen as less essential in pandemic times. Have entertainment outlets been able to diversify enough into core F&B or other activities in order to survive?
It's a good question, but it's a very funny story. I own a club as well. Obviously, we were closed and we've been closed since March 2020. In November 2020, we actually met with the mayor of KL. So we say, hey, you know, Mr. Mayor, can we talk to our members with entertainment licenses and allow them to pivot, at least keep their staff busy, right? Keep their staff employed. Because you don't want to have like a crazy amount of influx of people losing their jobs. So he was extremely gracious and he said, yeah, DBKL fully understands. Let's proceed with it. And for myself, we were able to open a burger restaurant in the first week of December. And in the first or second week of December, we were met with MCO2, and then all of that closed. Then later on in March of this year, the health minister actually signed a gazette to prohibit any kind of activities in entertainment licensed premises. So basically, we were not able to pivot since March because of the gazette. I don't blame Ministry of Health. I'm sure they have their reasons. But I think before they signed the gazette, at least some level of engagement should have been done, or at least listen to what the sentiments are on the ground before you make such a life-changing ruling. Because this is not just affecting the lives of the business owners. These are affecting the lives of tens of thousands of people that work in the entertainment sector.
So what will be the long-term impact on the economy if the F&B industry is not supported during these times?
Let's talk about the entertainment side of the F&B industry. In the first quarter of this year, through the help of our trade partners, we actually did like a mini survey across Semenanjung. At that point, it was like February. And we said, hey, let's talk to all the businesses that actually sell beer, alcohol, and see how they are doing. And if MCO continues till June, how will they fare, right? So we estimate from that survey done, something like 65 to 70,000 jobs will be potentially lost if continues with closure till June. We're looking at potentially tax losses to the country in excess of 500 million. What is even more critical is if this lockdown or these SOPs during this lockdown is not refined and businesses are further impacted or hampered in terms of their ability to serve, that means more job losses, that means less tax contribution, and all that doesn't look good for the country.
Jeremy, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That was Jeremy Lim, Vice President of the Persatuan Pemilik Restaurant dan Bistro, talking to us about the incredibly dire state of the F&B industry. And I think the number that stuck out to me, which he quoted, looking at the association's members, was that they expect 65% closure rates because the majority of their members only have perhaps enough savings to last another 2 months. And we're looking at potentially November before, and November is an optimistic point of when they will be able to reopen.
So in the earlier MCOs, they will probably be relying on savings, whatever the cash they had in the bank to, pay for salaries. But this year now, they probably now have to service the debt that they had taken on. And this may lead to all this like 65,000 to 75,000 jobs lost as well as bankruptcies.
Yeah, and when we take a look at the operating environment, I think one of the most confusing things, and I think we had one respondent on the poll here, or someone who retweeted it earlier, was this whole time limit, right, essentially, especially if you're not having dine-in. What is the rationale behind curtailing the activities of F&B? Because people have dinner anywhere between 6 and 9 p.m., but if you're closing at 8 p.m., they all get their orders locked in at the 7 p.m., which already limits their bandwidth. So it's something that seems like a limitation for the sake of looking like you're doing something,
Yeah, so as Jeremy pointed out, he hopes that there is going to be more engagement perhaps with the actual members on the ground before more gazettes or more curtailments are put in place. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.